With that, we'll move on to item number five, discussion and possible action on the report from the technical consultant. Ryan, go ahead.
Thanks, everyone. Good morning. Short agenda, hopefully. Just giving y'all a general update on things and a revised schedule for 2026. And then we're going to focus our efforts on the performance of FMEs, which is what we're trying to get started and we'll be doing throughout the whole year. We had a conversation about this last meeting and wanted to address some of y'all's questions. Some general updates. We did submit the technical memo to the Texas Water Development Board on January 7th, and we did get a confirmation that it is administratively complete or no?
Just submission.
Okay. So just a submission. And then we are awaiting comments from the development board, and also we are waiting to proceed with task 5A. We needed the development board to give us approval to proceed with that task. So that one's on hold. Does someone have their? No. Okay. We are also developing draft chapters 2, 3, and 4. If you recall, some of those chapters or some of those tasks got delayed a little bit. So we weren't able to complete the chapters, but we are drafting those. We'll have those to you to review in March or April. Probably try to stagger them so you don't get all three of them at the same time. That's what's coming up. So we do have an updated schedule for this year. So just starting from the top, we are starting task, or we've already started task 4C and 5B. Those are the performance of FMEs. The critical task timelines for this is task 5B. We owe a list of FMEs for the development board to perform. That's due to them in March. And then they ask for additional supporting information in April. So those are kind of the main deadlines, short-term deadlines we're trying to achieve. And then we need to start performing FMEs. If you recall, we have about three right now for the RFPG to perform. That will be performed by us, the technical consultant. We'll need to go ahead and get started on those. And because those are due at the end of the year. Task 5A, so that's, if you recall, we have a long list of potentially feasible FMXs. Task 5A is to look through each one of those, evaluate them, you know, how much flood reduction benefit do we get from them, how much do they cost, all these other metrics that we haven't fully fleshed out yet, and then develop a list of which FMXs we want to recommend to be included in the flood plan and which ones we do not want to recommend. Again, we are not going to start that until we get approval from the development board after they review the tech memo. So that's kind of been pushed out to start in roughly April timeframe. Going back to task 5B real quick, as you recall, the development board's going to select the top two to perform this year. So they're actually going to complete those FMEs, develop FMPs from those. Those FMPs will get fed back to us to be incorporated into the state flood plan. So those will be due at the beginning of next year, and we'll feed those back into the state flood plan. The remainder of those FMEs will be completed over subsequent years and will not be included in this flood plan, but will be included in the next flood plan. So that's what that timeline looks like. Nick, do you have a question? Do you have a comment?
Yeah, the folks online can't see the slides.
Oh, thank you.
Sure.
Do we have a thumbs up now? Yep. Okay,
great. Thanks, Nick. And then, so next task six, this is impacts of the plan. We won't really get started on that until we get all these FMPs in. So that will be started in 27. And then task seven is flood response. That's looking at flood management, flood early warning systems, all that kind of stuff. kind of a short task. And then task eight is legislative recommendations. Well, we kind of fit this into the middle of the year where things are a little bit less busy, so we can kind of focus on those tasks and knock them out. Again, fairly short tasks. And then task nine is funding analysis, looking at all the FMPs and FMEs and coming up with strategies to fund some of these FMXs. Task 10, continuing public engagement throughout as we get comments, especially as we have the draft chapters out. And then task 11 is a comparison of the cycle one plan versus the current plan, what changes were made. And then all of this is due, a draft regional floodplain is due to the development board May of next year. So any questions on the schedule? Christina?
I just have one that may tie to task seven. I don't know how many of us received the meeting notice for today to talk about the Senate Bill 3 Siren Grant Program that's this afternoon. And I know that you specifically mentioned that, and I just wanted to mention that the Water Development Board was doing that today.
Time? 1:30. Okay. Thanks, Christina. Okay. We'll move on to the main item for discussion, which is task 4C and 5B, which is the performance of FMEs. If you want to go to slide six. We had talked about this last time. Again, we're kind of combining these tasks. Regional Flood Planning Group is going to perform some FMEs. The Development Board is going to perform some FMEs. And the key distinction about who's going to do what is this rural definition. I know y'all had some questions about this. I wanted us to take another look. This is what we presented last time. So a rural county is any county with that does not have an urban population greater than 50,000. And then rural municipalities, which is cities or towns, those will be classified as rural if they have a population of 10,000 or less or are located within a rural county. There is some concern about potentially missing some counties that have a rural population in the unincorporated areas. So we did take a look at that. You can go to the next slide. We added this or statement to rural counties. So if a county has a population, does not have an urban population greater than 50,000 or has an unincorporated population less than 50, then it'd be classified as rural. The blue counties here, I think it's McClellan, Bell, and Brazos counties. They would get lumped in as rural under this new classification. I know we talked about Brazoria County being a concern, but they have an unincorporated population more than 50,000 based off of our estimates. So, and even with this change in rural definitions, the list of FMEs to be formed by the Development Board and the RFPG did not change. So there's really no effective change by this rural addition here. But we can keep it this way or we can go back to the original classification. It does not matter either way as far as which FMEs we are wanting to perform. And you can see here on the map, just for clarity, just make sure we're all super clear. The pink is rural counties. The dark pink are rural cities and towns. So is there any, my recommendation would just be go back to the original classification. Is that an issue, Jenna, or does it matter?
It's not changing what's on our list either way. If you wanted to go to the next slide, that kind of shows some stats on these urban counties as well. To just give a little more context on when we're talking about these urban counties, what is that total population versus the unincorporated? And you can see we have stars. So only Brazos, Fort Bend, and Williamson counties even have recommended FMEs in our plan currently that they're sponsoring. So these are the only ones who would even potentially get considered. And with our current ranking, none of them bump up towards the top. So it doesn't matter currently, but if in future cycles we use this definition, maybe it is something that we want to include additional consideration for.
I don't know if we had to vote or anything. We need to get the vote on a rule.
For task 5B, not.
Okay.
So we need a vote. So we need to finalize the method for selecting FMEs to be performed by both the RFPG, which is the Task 4C, and Texas Water Development Board, which is the Task 5B. So I'll need a motion. Go ahead.
Can I hold off on that? Because I'm not super clear. So we need a vote on the rural definition, or we just need a vote on the final selection?
For 5B. So really, it's just the method that we need you to tell us for 5B.
Okay.
Specifically because it's for rural, small and rural communities. 4C, you guys can choose whichever FMEs you want. We just ask that they potentially lead to an FMP.
Right. I think we had made the decision that the development board will take rural and will take non-rural. So kind of, that's why they kind of go hand in hand.
Sure.
So I guess we need to talk about MUDs.
Yeah, let's talk about the other.
And then we can decide to vote from there. So I'm going to hand it over to Jenna to talk about the other non-county, non-city communities.
So as Alicia pointed out last time, we didn't have any criteria for how to handle these kind of other entities on rural versus urban. So we came up with some criteria. I'll just throw it out there that, again, with our current ranking, there aren't any of these other entities popping up on our list. So it's not necessarily impactful for right now. But in future cycles, it might be impactful. So we wanted to go ahead and establish it for consistency. So the challenge with other entities is there's not a consistent population data set for all of these other entities. So it's hard to use the same types of population thresholds that we did with counties and municipalities. So instead of doing a population threshold, we're kind of doing an association with where is it located. So we came up with this kind of flow chart, and I'll show a couple of examples to see how it would play out. But we're basically seeing, is this other type of entity contained within a municipality? If so, let's assign urban versus rural based on the designation of the municipality. And if it's not, then is it contained within a single county? Assign based on that. And then if it's bigger than one county, then let's do a weighted average of all the counties it covers. So next slide. So looking at an example of how that would play out with a Fort Bend County MUD, this Fort Bend County MUD is completely contained within the city of Fulshear. So we would say, what is the designation for the city of Fulshear? Fulshear is urban, so the Fort Bend County MUD would also be considered urban. And next slide. Looking at this, Falls County Water Control and Improvement District, it is not contained within a municipality. It does cross into the city of Marlin a tiny bit, but most of it is just within Falls County in general. So we would look at what is the designation of Falls County, and Falls County is a rural county, so we would call this other entity a rural entity. And then our final example is looking at a council of governments. So it spans several counties. So we would just look at what is the majority designation of the counties that it spans. So in this case, all of the counties it spans are rural. So we would call it rural as well. If there was, you know, a combination of rural and urban, we would look at a weighted average based on the area of coverage. But we're basically just associating these other entities to counties and municipalities, since we have definitive populations for those. So altogether, this would be combined with our county and municipality rural definition. And I guess that's what we're looking for, if y'all are comfortable with how we've defined it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we just wait to vote, because we had to go through, Tressa, we did the tasks. We created a way to go and classify and rank the FMEs, and then it was also based off this rule, but now we're going to go through and actually reach out to these communities to make sure that they want us to do it. I would think we were just going to wait to vote on that final list at the next meeting, just combine it all together. This is what y'all have already agreed on, these metrics, this process, and these are the final lists. Let's all vote on it together once. So I think that might be best.
Alicia, did you have a comment? You're muted.
Oh, I did, but I think it's kind of curious what, you know, Ryan was just saying. In general, I like what we're doing. And I'm glad it doesn't affect anything right now, so that makes it easy. I do think we need to add one more asterisk like I'm looking at that, like the COG example, if the project that they're picking is 100% in a rural area, then maybe we should rank the project, not the entity. Because some of these are big, you know, if it's one of those weighted deals. I'm also getting very confused about what we're voting on for the board, because I heard Tressa say, tell us how your methodology is, which then makes me think they're going to reapply the methodology. Brian's always been saying, give us the list, and we're going to tell the board what the list is. So are we giving them the list, and they just take the list? Or are they taking our methodology and then theoretically recreating the list?
We're not recreating the list. We're basically just doing a quick check to make sure that everything on your list meets your own methodology. It's just making sure that you all agreed on how to identify rural, small and rural, and making sure that everything on your list meets your own criteria. That's it.
So I think is what we're voting on, Alicia, is do, one second, Christina, is our definition of rule and how we came up with that definition. I think that's...
Well, there's two. There's also, we have rural, which splits... Maybe I should have brought this slide up from last time, but we talked about this last time and we agreed to it. We just didn't officially vote on it. Is we split these up into two different categories, right? You have the rural and non-rural, and then from there we go in and rank them. And whatever comes to the top, we select those. And I'm suggesting maybe we've already agreed to the rural definition. We've agreed to that process. Let's go back through and we'll bring all this back next time. You can just vote on it all then. I don't think we did vote on the process.
Christina, you might... You want to add in?
I do. And part of it, too, is just clarification for me, because when we started talking about rural versus urban today, and for example, Bell County, which is in the Central Texas Council of Governments area, we show it as an urban county. But then here on this consideration, we're showing it as a rural county. And so, you know, I just want to make sure that we have that out of the way for how we're considering urban and rural. And personally, I like the amendment, even though it doesn't affect anything that we're doing this time. I think it helps some of those counties that you had asterisks at, or ones that haven't submitted at all, that maybe it'll encourage them to submit in the future.
Yeah, apologies. This isn't showing those blue counties. I turned it back to pink. I should have left it as blue. So this is showing if we added that consideration for the county, the or of unincorporated population less than 50,000, then Bell would get looped in. So yes, I guess there's two considerations there.
So Ryan, the reason we're all here today is because you told me there was something we needed to take action on. And I thought I just heard you say we could just wait till next meeting.
It's up to y'all. I mean, well, I'm getting feedback. Y'all can take action on rural. Y'all have already agreed to the other process. I did need direction from y'all on this, and if y'all are okay with this, we have the list of FMEs to perform. We just need to go out to those entities and ask, are y'all actually interested? I don't want to give y'all all these FMEs, and then like half of them don't want to do it. So that's kind of what I'm... Before I reach out to them, I want to make sure we have everything squared away. All comments from y'all are addressed before we reach out to these communities. And then we'll come back and say, this is the final list, and this is the approach that y'all agreed to. Let's vote on it all at the same time. It's kind of my thinking. So there is...
Okay, so Anthony, if I may, let me... It sounds like maybe we need a little bit of a motion. And what Ryan's team did for us was amend the definition, which turns some counties to blue, which even though it doesn't affect our list, that in the additional process that Jenna discussed, that doesn't affect our list yet, I think we're in support of and need to acknowledge today with an asterisk of, I would like it to be finally amended that when you have those multi-county groups, that the location of the project is what decides whether it's rural or not.
Alicia, you want to make that into a motion?
And then so I make a motion that we add, you know, on the earlier slide where it clarified or an unincorporated population lifted 50,000. we adopt the process that Jenna presented with a slight amendment to Jenna's process that if it is a multi-county jurisdiction, the project itself is what's used to classify for via the flowchart for rural or not rural. That's my motion.
I'll second. This is Christina.
We got a motion from Alicia and a second from Christina. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. Did you have some more, Ryan, to discuss?
Yeah, I wanted to go through some of the scopes of work that we're putting together. So just so y'all know, we're going to reach out to these. These are the three FMEs that came to the top for the RFPG to perform. I'm going to reach out to these cities and ask them, are you okay with us doing these? And then we're going to coordinate on exactly what the scopes of work would look like for each one of these. Just so y'all know, the Barrens Branch Creek is in Waco, and it is a creek upstream of downtown Waco. And they're proposing, it's almost like a FME to FMP, where they want to address some flooding and erosion issues in that area and provide some green infrastructure, because right now it's kind of an ugly urban creek. So we'll reach out to them. City of Belton, Turtle Creek is a creek that's been put into culverts, but they're undersized. So they want to take a look at that and see what kind of improvements they can make to that creek in those undersized culverts. And then the Wolfpin Creek is, they already have done a study of Wolfpin Creek, but they want it updated with the latest data. And they have some specific crossings they want to look at. And so it would just basically be taking their old study, updating it, and turning those FMEs to FMPs based off the latest data. So we'll reach out to all these. I'm sure they'll love for us to do this, but we do need to get some official clarification or confirmation from them, and we'll bring these back with a revised FME cost that reflects the specific scopes that we coordinate with them on.
Have you been authorized up to the 575?
That's how much we have for this task under the current budget.
Alicia.
Just so we don't lose time, can we go ahead and give the consultant direction that if any of these communities decline for whatever reason, you just go ahead and don't wait till next month to come back. And then we go, yeah, go ahead and reach down to City of Bryan. Like, I think if you get declined, hit the next one.
Okay. Yeah.
Good point.
Okay. We will do that. You can go to the next slide. These are the list of same thing. These are a little bit more generic. They're all drainage master plans for the most part. We're just going to go from the top of the list, work it down, get approval from them. If not, we'll just go to the next one down on the list there. So I don't know if there's any questions on any of these. I'll take them. Otherwise, that's our approach. And we'll bring these back again. We'll update the FME cost based on the scope of work. And have that total list available next time. So next slide. So I wanted to talk about scope to make sure you're okay with, as we're developing these scopes of work, that the items that we're including and not including are in agreement with these. So most of the FMEs that we're looking at are all drainage master plans with a select few of FME to FMP, which is like that preliminary engineering type. Again, most of them are focused on small cities because of they're classified as rural. So most of the drainage master plans are just rural drainage master plans. Some of the drainage master plans have other additional scope items, such as updating regulations, developing drainage criteria. We're planning to not include those unless y'all give us different direction. I think our focus is to develop flood risk models that can then be used to develop FMPs. So that's kind of our focus, and we're limiting the scope to those specific items. And then I'll talk about the estimating cost, and you can go to the next slide. So this is the scope of work and how we're going to develop the cost for these drainage master plans type FMEs. So it's going to be a hydrologic and hydraulic analysis, probably using some BLE models and updating them, or we'll just do them from scratch. They'll be most likely pure 2D rain on mesh modeling using the latest HECRAS modeling software versions. It's pretty typical process these days, and we're very familiar with how that process works. And we will then use those models to identify what areas have the highest flood risk in these communities, flag them as problem areas, and then we will develop at least one project for each one. We'll take a close look and see if we can define that. Is it 1 to 2 or 2 to 3? But because it's rural, usually we're kind of limited on the number of FMPs we can perform, because usually one FMP will take care of a city. But we'll try to classify the number of FMPs we're trying to develop with each one within the scope. And then after we develop that project, we will quantify the FMP metrics as, you know, number of structures that are removed from flooding, population, all the other stuff that's required by the Texas Development Board to get these into the flood plan as an FMP. And then we'll do a drainage report with some flood risk mapping products, and then ongoing coordination throughout the duration with the sponsoring community. So those are what's included in the scope. Some specific things we're not including is we're not planning on doing survey at this higher level type planning process and modeling. We don't think we will need survey. We have enough information with LIDAR and as-built information. And if we need to, we can always go out there and do some spot elevations, but no official topographic or boundary surveys. We're not doing any type of full-on CIP for these cities. It's just focused on the watershed and developing a select few number of FMPs for that specific study area. We're not going to do any official mapping. We will provide flood risk mapping, but it won't be to the level of standard that would be make them eligible for FEMA submittal. So I'm just trying to make a distinction there. They're not FEMA level mapping. It's not comprehensive over the whole city. And we're planning not to do any type of drainage criteria development or any type of floodplain regulation management. We're just focusing on producing FMPs. So, and then the FME cost is going to be based off the scope of work, the study area, and whether they have existing modeling or not. These three things will dictate what the FME cost will be. So this is for drainage master plans. Any questions on the scope? Next meeting, I'll have a full scope of work written out for y'all to review and provide feedback on then. But so the next slide is going to be a scope for an FME to FMP. It's fairly similar. We're going to usually with these FME to FMPs, there's some modeling that's already been done. For example, Wolfman Creek for City College Station, we're going to take a look at those models and update them to use the latest available data. If they're just super old or trash, we might just start afresh. But our goal is to just, you know, improve what's already there. And then we're going to, similar to the other one, we're going to, if they have an FMP already that just needs to be fleshed out more, we'll take their existing ideas and just update them to work with the current conditions and the current hydrology. We won't be reinventing the wheel unless that's specifically written into the scope. And then again, developing those metrics, doing reporting and coordination with the community. We will not do additional survey. We will not do, I guess that will depend on whether or not they had survey to begin with. I guess that's kind of the asterisk on that one, but we're trying to avoid having to do survey on some of these. And then again, no comprehensive mapping, and we're not going to do any type of design that exceeds 30%. We're trying to limit to a feasibility type level of engineering on these scopes of work. So is there any objections to our approach or questions? Again, we'll put together formal scopes of work for these next time. Okay, next slide. So this is where we're at. I guess we have these list of FMEs to perform. We're going to reach out to these communities and make sure they're okay with it. Next time we'll bring these back with scopes of work for y'all to officially approve. And then we need to submit the FME, the list of FMEs to the Texas Water Development Board in March. And then the scopes of work just for the first two. for development board, and then we'll, so what we could potentially do, if you're okay with our list of FMEs and give us the go ahead to, if we get declined or ghosted by a community, to just go down to the next list, I think we could get away with just doing a meeting in March and having y'all vote on them, and then we'll submit immediately after, as long as y'all are pretty okay with our process and what we've selected to date.
So I'm hearing you say maybe not a meeting in February.
Yeah, so if you want to go to the last slide, we could push this to the task force C and 4B to March, and just y'all see everything and approve it then, and we would turn around and submit the list to the development board then. I'm just trying to say, I don't want to have to do a short meeting in February if y'all are pretty much in agreement with everything, but it's up to y'all.
Christina.
I agree with that approach, because some of these entities, it may take them a little bit longer to say yes, just between lawyers and councils, in order to give the staff the authority to say yes, to put it on the list. So I think it'll take you longer than a couple weeks to pull that together.
Yeah, I agree. That was kind of in the back of my head thinking, like, I don't know if we'll be able to get all the information back to you in February. So give us till March. We'll have everything completely put together for, and we would have all the feedback we would need by the, from the city and the counties by then as well, too. So.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks, y'all. That's all I got.
Thank you.